are listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode number 4, our host will be talking with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro, Brett Pruitt. The Monroe, Louisiana professional angler tells his life-changing story one day after graduating high school. This accident propels Pruitt into fishing, where he wins the 2014 College Classic and an automatic berth into 2015 Bassmaster Classic Championship. Qualifying in the Bassmaster Opens, Pruitt qualifies to fish the Bassmaster Elite Series. However, after a disappointing couple of years, Pruitt failed to requalify for the Elite Series. He has now requalified and fishing the Bassmaster Elite Series tournaments. Now he's sharing with the Fishing Guide Podcast what it's like to fish in the Elites and his favorite lures along with techniques. This week, Tackle Time features Pico Lures Wide Gap Belly Hook with Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Weekman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with our co-host, Mitch Glenn. Mitch, what do you think about today?
Man, I got something lined up today, Brad. I tell you what, I've got a real bass pro, cream lure pro from Louisiana, Brett Pruitt.
I've known a lot of people from Louisiana. What's special about Brett?
Brett is, for starters, he's fishing the Bass Elite Series. Makes him pretty special right there.
Yeah, there's only so many anglers get to fish that.
I tell you what, that's you don't just do it because you want to. You have to kind of work your way up to that. I'm sure Brett will tell us a little bit about how he got there.
Yeah, Brett, tell us where you live right now, and give us some background. How did you
make it to the Elites?
Does someone from Louisiana? I mean, Cliff Crochet was from Louisiana.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's very many other from Louisiana, is there, Brett?
No, sir. There's only about 3 or 4 of us now, and a lot of the guys, it's their rookie season that is from Louisiana. But so I definitely got to say I'm very blessed, first of all, to be doing this for a living, because not everybody gets to. It's a dream of mine, and through some different things that happened in life, it was able to come true, and hopefully I get to do it as long as I can. But I grew up around central Louisiana. I was actually pretty good in baseball. I was all-state third baseman in high school, and I was going to go play college baseball when I graduated. Well, unfortunately, we was playing around in the backyard, and I went to tackle my buddy, and he accidentally elbowed me in the right eye, and it tore my optic nerve, and I went completely blind in my right eye.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, at that point, I was, upset millions of hours, and the backyard was dead. And just training camps and everything you can imagine, and then just the dream of playing college ball was gone. You can't really hit a 90-something mile an hour fastball anymore or play third base with your depth perception and everything changes.
Oh, that's a life-changing event right there.
And he say life-changing. And it, at the time, like I said, I was so upset. But later on, it's been – heck, I'm getting old. I turned 30 years old this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess it's been 12 or so years ago now, but it changed my life forever. At that point, I had never fished a tournament before.
Really?
When I was 18 years old, I grew up fishing. I loved I love fishing in ponds and with my dad and grandpa, my mom and stepdad all over the place, but we never got into the tournament fishing. But when I had that accident, I love competing, and I seen when I went to school at University of Louisiana Monroe, I seen that the college fishing on television, and it really sparked the interest, and I got to talking with another guy, and heck, we ended up starting a team that year, my sophomore year in college.
Well, there you go.
And it was some of the funnest times of my life, I can tell you. By the second year, we was one of the top, the second team overall in the nation. And I believe the third year, me and my partner won the FLW National Championship. We got to go fishing the Forest Wood Cup. So that was a great experience.
Oh, and, I bet so it was, time, yeah.
At this time, I'm starting to really have that dream of starting of wanting to really fish professionally after having the success in college. But I still couldn't figure out how I was going to do it financially. And so I stayed in school and got my master's in business. And I really kind of planned on, you know, getting into the workforce and working and saving money and trying to fish the Bassmaster Opens and qualify for the Elite Series, because that's the only path to make it. But my last year getting my master's, you know, we qualified for the national championship again. This was my third time doing that. But I ended up winning the college Bassmaster bracket. And with that came them giving me a truck and a boat to use all over the country and paying my entry fees for all 9 of the opens that season.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that it started off bad. My first tournament in Florida, I think I come in 100 and something, and I was like, well, maybe I'm not quite ready for all this. But it was Florida, and they always said Florida's hard. I think I do a lot better there now these days. But after that tournament, I had a top 12. I ended up having 3 more top 12s that year and, like, 4. I think I got a check in the rest of the Opens that year. Wow. And I qualified through the Central Opens and made it to the Bassmaster Elite Series. And that was
It right around then, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, things happen for a reason, buddy. Yeah, maybe that first time out, maybe you had to get kicked all the way down to the bottom so you could see where the top was.
That you're exactly right. Things do happen for a reason. Just like I wouldn't at that point when I lost the vision in my eye, I was pretty upset with life and everything going on. And
I can imagine.
And now I'm 30 years old, and I can look back and just say, man, that was part of God's plan the whole time.
That's what yeah. got you where you are today.
Well, yes, sir.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, and so how many years have you fished in the Elites? Now, you took a year off, didn't you, or not, take a break?
Yes, I did have one year where I didn't requalify, and I fished the FLW Tour that year, and then I'm back into the Elite Series again. So I fished the Elite. This will be my 5th season fishing in the Elite.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
And fishing in the Elites is a little different than fishing in a Mason Jar tournament Crossett Lake or somewhere in Louisiana.
Yeah, those fruit jars you show up, there's 30 people there, and there's about 5 of them you have to beat. It's not that way in the Elites, is it, Brett?
It's not that way.
There's 150 there, and you got to beat every one of them, don't you?
It don't matter what conditions, how tough. I mean, it can be the days where you think, I ain't over on a day, but you get up to the scales and they're going to have them. So it's not a good feeling when you ain't got that bag full of fish, because you know you got to day in and day out to compete on the Elite Series.
Do you travel by yourself for these Elite tournaments, or do you have some of the guys have roommates, they get, they for lodging, you know, some of them have partners, and then also some of them share information, and other guys are just by themselves, and they just fish by themselves.
You're right. There's both of that that goes on the Bassmaster circuit. I actually been traveling with a guide in Louisiana also named Tyler Carrier, and I traveled with him in the Elites for 3 years, and I used to travel with John Hunter, and unfortunately he was like one of the last people out in the Elite series, and he's still trying to requalify right now, but he came in top 10 in one of the first opens, so he's off to a good start for getting back. But I travel with Tyler Carrier and Quentin Capo right now, and also Austin Felix switched from FLW. He's from Minnesota. I met him through college fishing. He's a really good fisherman, has cashed a lot of checks in FLW and fished in the tour, and I'm glad he's going to be staying with us all throughout this season. So there's probably going to be four of us, and we'll be splitting Airbnbs and trying to work together some, help each other out, get a little dialed in on the water. You know how giant them lakes and everything are, and you only got about 2.5 days to get it figured out.
Yeah.
It's not always easy.
Yeah, and typically in that short amount of time, are you doing a lot of work with your sonar? Are some of these places where you've been before, so you have kind of a head up, you know, on what's happening there?
Yeah, I definitely do use my low ranch grass and try to get on the structure scan whenever it's that type of lake, and there's gonna be some fish out deeper. I try to spend a lot of time with electronics and graphing and trying to find them bigger schools of fish that you can at least pull up and get a limit on. And now I'm finally starting to go to these lakes for the second time or maybe the third time. So
right.
When I was first starting, a lot of times I always seem to really have one good day out of the two days. And I think it's always me thinking I have enough, but not having enough backup plans or not actually fishing right in practice. I think there's been too many times where I fished in the area too long and didn't try to find more areas because I didn't realize how much different places you might actually need in a 3 or 4 day event.
Yeah, but you're a Louisiana boy, don't you? Just like you just drive around till you see a bunch of rocks and yeah, grass growing up, and you don't see no houses, and you hear a bunch of banjo music, and you take your fishing rod and you shove the tip down, and if half the rod, you know, if half the rod's exposed, you got to go shallower.
Yeah.
Hey, I love them kind of tournaments whenever I can just look around and do my instincts how I grew up fishing. I think that's why I always do really good on Lake Okeechobee and places like where your depth finder ain't even in the equation. You just stick the rod in the water.
Yeah, your depth finder turns into a compass. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, that's the ones I like. That's the ones I feel at home at. You can just put a frog and a big flipping stick in my hand and a cream crawl and a topwater frog and a buzz bait. I just love topwater and love power fishing. So, but I have learned now that I do have to go a lot of finesse a lot more if I want to be consistent on waiting in a good sack more than one of the days. I have, it seems like lakes these days are just getting even more pressure than they used to. Even 10 years ago when I first started out. And yeah. It seems like I have to do a lot more finesse fishing now. And we didn't throw no spinning rods. And I never had to in Louisiana. And even when in my college career, I didn't have to use them a lot. But now, the last 2 years, I really, really started getting more in depth with a spinning rod. Stuff to get bit whenever you can't get them bites power fishing.
Right, and I have extra spinning rods if you need to borrow one. You know, the history, this
is...
It's
clear where y'all are, yeah.
Yeah, it's clear where we are. Yeah. It's scary. Louisiana people come up here, and there's no fresh crawdads, and they see this clear water, and they're ready to go home.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm gone.
We use our spinning reels to make omelets in the morning.
That's right. To give you an idea how Brett has done so far in his career... he's fished a total of 45 tournaments, I believe, in the Elite Series. He's had one classic appearance. He's been in the money 21 times. He's had two top 10 finishes, four top 20 finishes, and he's won over $106,000 in winnings.
21 checks out of 45 tournaments. That's almost batting 500, Brett.
Yeah, I would.
You think you would, if your baseball career would have carried on, do you think you'd have been batting 485 in baseball?
485?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
So maybe fishing is your career. If you could bat 400 in baseball, man, you're going to, yeah, uh-huh. But batting over 400, almost 500, is a professional fisherman. You can make a living that way.
Yeah, we just need to get it on up there to about in the 60% range and 60, upper 60s, like Dollar Bill Lowell. We're starting out, and we're doing a lot of learning. And
well, even though you think you're getting old at 30, buddy, let me tell you what, you're still a pretty young dude. You got the time to get her done.
Yes, sir. I'm very blessed for the opportunity, and definitely been a lot of learning.
You've got a good 20 years before things even start to hurt.
That's a good thing. That's good about fishing. You can't really fun that winning tournaments. Almost 70 years old.
So yep.
We have some time left.
Yep.
Hey, what's the most famous person that you've taken out fishing?
The most famous person I've taken out fishing?
Yeah.
I'm trying. That's a hard one.
Really?
I'm
sure there's someone.
I guess I'm not catching them. I guess I ain't getting popular enough to bring somebody really famous yet.
Well, you draw guys in the elite. Well, no, you're not. No. You're fishing by yourself in the elite. Yeah.
But, I mean, sometimes. I mean, I can think of – I've been pretty blessed because of my media work. I've fished with almost half of the Bassmaster Classic champions, like Chris Lane and people like that, Kevin Van Dam. I've fished with all kinds of them. But, you know, sometimes in the fishing industry, you get – hooked up and you get to fish with someone that you wouldn't get to otherwise.
I got to fish with people from other countries and all kinds of cool stuff like that, and made awesome relationships. Even when I couldn't speak English to them, we talked through the phone and everything, and I've really met some awesome people traveling the country and doing that, but no name that somebody would just know off the top of their head.
Well, that will come.
It will. Yeah,
that'll come in time. So that's pretty amazing stuff right there. Mitch has traveled down south and fished. What's your favorite lake, Brett, down there? What do you call your home lake?
Well, it used to be, I grew up about 10 minutes from Red River, and that's around central Louisiana. And it used to have the lily pads and the grass, and it was a really good fishery. And it seems like in the last 7 or 8 years after flooding and everything, it's just that place is struggling to get back to where it used to be. But then the rivers and everything go in cycles, and so I'm hoping it will get back like it was when I was growing up and just learning to fish. But there, and I always fish, I got a small camp on Toledo Bend, and so I get to fish Toledo Bend probably 5 times a year. That's a pretty special place to me.
It is. That is a very special lake.
Toledo Bend.
But
you're gonna have to shoot me a private message and the address. We'll come down there and go fishing with you on Toledo Bend.
Oh yeah, we'll have to make that happen. It's about to be on fire right now, I can tell you, because the water hasn't been in the bushes in about a little over two years now, and the water's just right. We got this warm weather, and them fish is moving up in them bushes and stuff, and that's a fun way to catch them.
Yep.
Man, that's
I can tell you my favorite kind of fishing is y'all is in smallmouth, though. I don't have them in Louisiana.
Where at do you like smallmouth fishing? I've been around a few places. Where do you like smallmouth fishing at?
I like smallmouth just anywhere that they swim or live. As far as, I mean, St. Clair and them kind of places is just wonderful and just amazing, blow your mind how many nice big 3-4 pounders you catch. But I've had as much fun fishing there in Yaleville, Arkansas, in a place called Crooked Creek, where you just have to put a kayak in and catch nice smallmouth in inches of water, and then it gets deeper in little pools, and don't see nobody else out there fishing. I love it all. Them fish are just more aggressive than our large
Crooked Creek's a pretty special place, man.
I guided on Crooked Creek.
Yeah, well, we better not be talking
about
that. Did
you really?
Yes.
Yeah,
I guided on Crooked Creek, and then I found out that guiding out of a kayak turned out to be like a shuttle service for me.
Yeah.
I was having to paddle people around, and it wasn't that I didn't get to go fishing, but I just had a tough time.
Wasn't near as much fun.
You think there's a lot of glory in that. That was like, they would go to the next sandbar, and I'd have to pick up every kayak and
you
pull
turned
it over
into a
thing.
Pack mule, didn't you?
I did not like that. But that actually, because our show originates here in the Ozarks, we have like the Kings River. We got the Illinois River, and that's a little farther away. I don't guide there anymore. I guide on Beaver Lake, but I don't guide. I love going over to Crooked Creek, but that's
a special place. Hey, and Beaver Lake's where I won my FLW National Championship.
Really? Is that right?
14, it is.
When you were...
You think a Louisiana boy couldn't fish all the rocks and clear water and everything. But
oh, my gosh.
What did you use to catch fish on that, tournament?
It was about this time of year, and every day was different.
Yeah.
Back then, you could throw the umbrella rig, so everybody was throwing it.
Oh, my gosh.
The first day, I didn't weigh in a single fish on it. I caught all five fish on a wiggle ward.
Yep.
And the second day, we end up catching one big one on the umbrella rig, like three of them on a wiggle ward, one on a jig. And then the last day, it seemed like all the fish moved up at the very end of the day. And we end up catching them, two of them on a shaky head, and the other ones... two on a jig. We weighed in four fish for like 14 pounds. We thought we weren't going to have enough not weighing in five. We done had come in second about five times in college tournaments at that point, never won a big one. And we won by a couple ounces. And in that championship was pretty special because they broke it down to five people. And of the top five teams, Justin Cannell who was fishing for Alabama, and he fishes on the MLF now. Jordan Lee was fishing with Matt Lee at Auburn. And Shane Liu was one of the other top five guys on UNC Charlotte. So that was a heck of a top five for that tournament at Beaver right there.
Beaver will humble you or make you somebody special. It sounds like you adapted to what we normally have to do up here. I mean, it's nothing for us. We're used to it. We go through 10 different baits and styles of fishing on a routine basis throughout one day.
It was changing for sure. Every day you couldn't just keep the same thing locked in your hand and win.
You have to be versatile, which is probably the reason why you have so many checks in the elites. Would that be right?
Yeah, yes, sir. I didn't start out, like I told you, being as versatile, but as through the years of college fishing and then being in the elites, I've definitely grown more versatile. I'll have 20 different techniques and rods rigged up at all times.
It sounds like that shaky head worm might have been a technique you might not use every day in Louisiana, but it played a pretty big role up here.
It did. We used the shaky head river, and we used a little bitty small finesse jig with the cream crawl on it. We use the shaky head with just the scoundrel on there.
Right.
A cream scoundrel, a little 6-inch scoundrel is a go-to bait for me that has been catching them on it. Our Texas rig all over the country when I seem like I just need to put a keeper in the box.
Yep.
What is your favorite soft plastic lure? What if you could only have one to fish the entire season of the elite tournament, what soft plastic would you have and what color?
Gosh, it would have to be one that I could use for multiple applications. So if I could just use one, so it'd have to be the cream speed screamer, and I'd have to have it in just green pumpkin, because I use that bait on the back of a swim jig. I use it punching on a Carolina rig as a jig trailer. Something about it with the little bitty feet on the side and the crawl tail. It's just a small, compact, versatile bait. If I had to just have one, I'd take it, because I can use it on the back of everything or use it by itself. So
multi-purpose.
That's the most multi-purpose bait I have in the boat. So I just have them in a big bulk set.
Right. Yeah. How do you like the new tails that are on them now?
Oh, they're good. I has a lot of action.
It's a big improvement, wasn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's a great bait. It really is. I caught them swimming it at Okeechobee with an 1/8 ounce weight, and they kind of laid off my swim jig and top water, and had to adapt the second day of a FLW Tour tournament. I come in 18th, but the four I caught that day, I caught it just swimming it above the grass.
Is that right? Wow.
Yep, not even marking it like you normally would Texas rig, but just swimming it like you would a swim jig.
A lot of people, I mean, that's an awesome bait. You know, it comes in 8 or 10 colors, I believe.
I think they brought a couple new colors out this year. Yeah.
And it's pretty remarkable, because you can put it on a chatterbait and you can go like right down the lake and fish it.
Yep.
So
you could use it for a
spinnerbait
trailer.
It's a really good chatterbait trailer. We got a lake over here called Caney. It's produced the top 8 of the top 10 state records, and I've caught some big fish with it as a trailer.
I'd be scared
black
to fish.
Blue, I put on a black and blue one. And
I tell you what, I'd be scared of fishing Caney, because those bass are so big in there, they'd take me under like a little duck. How about gators? Do you like gators?
No, when you grow up with them sleeping in the backyard, you just grow accustomed to them. They don't. It's like looking at a bird outside.
They taste like chicken, Brad. There's nothing to be scared of.
Yeah, they're just like birds
just
in your
like
backyard. So when you're walking to your backyard, the only trouble is a bird cannot like bite and put you in a death roll. Yeah. Just so you know, you thought getting hit in the eye with an elbow. I'm pretty sure a 12-foot gator latching.
Well, next time you're down there, take your spinning rod with you. And you can poke them in the, you can use it to poke them in the eyes.
Yeah. That's right. I've been around them my whole life, and I've never seen one aggressive towards me. I always heard if it was that time of year to look out and everything. But one time I guess I was in a kayak, and one about 12-foot popped up beside the kayak, and that kind of did, like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. I don't know what, he might think I'm some kind of toy or something.
Yeah. you just reach over, scratch him on the nose, and send him on his way, pat him on the head.
Remember when you were talking about topwaters and how much fun it was? Well, that's what the gators do. Like, they all get together and they go, hey, there's a kayaker out there. That's topwater.
Hey, that's one of those new eating Jacksons. I wonder what they taste like.
Put the Cajun in it. Yeah. Cajun seasoning in that kayak.
Needs more jalapeno.
Oh,
woo, sprinkle a little cayenne pepper on that kayak. It'll be just fine.
I can just imagine all those gators around.
Oh, man. They taste like chicken.
So a lot of people fish with like a swim bait body and put it on a like a jig head or something like that. Do you like doing that kind of fishing? You know, like the reel screamer. Do you like that kind of fishing or not?
I do. I love a reel screamer. I throw it at Okeechobee too with just a weighted belly hook around grass. Is how I like to throw it. I put it on the umbrella rig. When I can't throw that in the leaks, but when I'm home in the wintertime, I throw it around. But I really have had success as far as catching fish that I need on the 3.5 inch in the silver shiner color for spotted bass. It just for spotted bass and smallmouth, that 3.5 has been deadly with a spinning rod, 8-pound test. I'll have that rigged up in my boat at all times. And when they're on shad, I actually like having it on the back of the chatterbait instead of the speed screamer.
Oh,
but
you got to tell people all the good stuff now. I mean, you just laid it out there. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do.
I think
I may edit that part out.
Yeah. Hey, we got the controls.
Yeah. Like telling them the good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta get that cream been with me since I was in college.
Oh.
So they've been stuck with me from the very beginning, before I ever even made it into the Elite Series. One of the lure makers for Mike Clark, that's my best friend back home. That's his father-in-law. So he's known me since we've probably been 13, 14 years old. So
Mike Clark is your father-in-law?
No, that's my best friend's father-in-law.
Oh, okay. Whew. Dang, I thought we had a bunch more editing to do there. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, Mike.
Mike will be listening to every word. Mike will be like,
"We thought we had something we could hold over your head there, buddy, but I guess not."
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I tell you
so
what,
that's a deadly technique on that on a ball head and just light line 3.5. Can't go wrong with it.
All right. Well, you know what? That takes us into tackle time. Mitch is, when we come back from this commercial, Mitch is going to tell us exactly what he uses for a hook when he's throwing a real screamer.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, we're back. It's tackle time. As you just heard Brett say, one of his favorite baits is that reel screamer and the speed screamer. So he mentioned a belly weighted hook. Here at Pico, we're building jig heads to fit the cream plastics just specially for it. So what we're doing is we made the Pico wide gap belly weighted hook, and we put what we call the Easy Keeper coil system on this. It matches up. We have the 3/0 size for the 3.5-inch screamers that he's talking about. Perfect matchup. We've got a 4/0 and a 5/0 size, all the way up to 1/4 ounce. If you want a little lightweight to float these things over grass, or a heavyweight to put them down deep, do what Brett tells you to do. Fish that thing. Fish it slow, fish it high, fish it low. Try that Pico wide gap belly weighted hook on that thing. Perfect combination.
Brett, we sure appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, I surely appreciate y'all, and it was great sharing everything with y'all and talking about the alligators eating kayaks and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, you know what? This show was pretty awesome because Brett Pruitt, if you don't know who he is, this is actually a great show to listen to, and you can just hear the personality coming out of him. Man, he's one of those real guys that, you know, if you got in the boat, he'd be like,
he's
fishing
the real
with
deal.
Your, yeah, you'd be
I
like
worked
fishing,
out at ICAST with him last year.
Be like fishing with your uncle, man,
oh,
who teaches
is.
You how to fish. You'd be something like that. He's had an opportunity to fish in the FLW Cup Championship, the Bassmaster Classic back in 2015. You know, he's a Louisiana boy, and he's done a lot of stuff, and he's fished college fishing tournaments, and there's not much he hasn't fished. He's rolled a little cash.
He has.
And
he's overcome every obstacle everybody put in his life, and God gave him the ability to overcome it and move on to bigger and better things, man.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you're right about that, Mitch. He really has. I keep him first, no matter, and you turn out good in life when you do that. No matter what path he has for
him. Absolutely.
Yep.
Great to have you on the show. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe. You know, rate our show.
Hey,
you know,
if you like us,
show,
give us a like.
Oh, man, give us a good rating. That'd be awesome for us. Anyway, write a review about our show for Mitch and myself. Keep your hook sharp and lures in the water.